For years, Facebook used something called a race-blind algorithm to root out hate speech on its platform. Now the company is overhauling its automated moderation systems so it can better detect and delete hateful language directed at Black, Muslim, and LGBTQ users. Elizabeth Dwoskin has been covering this story for The Washington Post and joins us with the latest. Welcome.
Thank you.
Elizabeth, you report that Facebook's algorithm makeover, so to speak, is in its early stages, but give us an example of how the race-blind algorithm used to work and how it's being reprogrammed to work now.
Well, Facebook's both policies and the resulting software that they designed has long treated comments against white men or white people, comments like men are trash or white people are stupid, with the same degree of severity as really brutal comments and slurs against Black people, Jewish people, LGBTQ, Muslims. So a comment like men are trash would rate the same as all Muslims should die, all Jews should die. It was really problematic. A lot of experts on hate speech say that it's impossible to actually have hate speech against whites and men in the United States because they're not historically the targets of discrimination. They're not the groups that hate speech rules are intended to protect.
Mm-hmm. You know, Elizabeth, this is really interesting because what Facebook is really asking its engineers to do is to write an algorithm that understands power. So in other words, write an algorithm that accounts for all of what you're saying, for the fact that anti-Black comments may be more harmful than anti-white ones, given how much economic and social and political power white people have in this country. How do you begin to code this nuanced idea?
Right. So it's a great question. What really you ultimately have to do, I think, is find the very worst categories of harm, the most harmful speech. And what I could see in the documents I obtained is that they did try to do that. And they narrowed it down to about 14 slurs and attacks, demeaning attacks. And so you need to almost create some kind of scoring system. And that scoring system will teach the algorithms, in theory, how to act more quickly and aggressively on the actually harmful comments that are out there versus the benign ones that are just part of freedom of speech and discussion.
And just to be clear, if users see a post that's bashing men or bashing white people, they can still report it for removal.
Exactly. This isn't to say that there aren't very hateful things and mean things people could say about white people. By the way, Americans is also one of the new terms that the hate speech algorithms will no longer take down automatically. But people can still report them to the company, particularly violence. So all threats of violence against anybody would still be considered the worst form of hate speech, no matter who they're addressed at, no matter what group or category. And so, yeah, users are still welcome to report that stuff to Facebook, and Facebook may take it down. This is an algorithmic change that says that the algorithms are no longer going to automatically delete that type of stuff.
There are also financial incentives. Facebook's own research shows that Black and Hispanic users are some of their most engaged users. How much of this policy shift can actually be attributed to simply wanting to keep these users from leaving Facebook as well as Instagram, which we know Facebook also owns?
So part of our reporting was that in 2018, Facebook looked into this problem and they researched their standing with users of color. It was specifically Black users. The project was called Project Blacklight, creatively named. Actually, first it was called Project Vibe. And they did find that Black users were some of their most engaged users. And yet those users, they realized they were failing them because they were very dissatisfied with how their comments were getting taken down, and they perceived that it was unfair. And I wrote a front page story in the Post at this very same time about this issue. So there was a broad problem and they knew it. They also worried that Black users would flee to other platforms. What's happened, though, is that Black users have really not fled. In fact, and it's largely because Instagram has become such an essential platform for influencers, you can't possibly leave. What Facebook says is that they took some of those recommendations into account. But you can see from the reporting that it took them years to make any kind of algorithmic or policy change. And part of that, you have to step back and understand that everything that Facebook does, the company's very politically cautious. Their head of policy is a Republican who is very worried, you know, about always appearing balanced and hurting the right and perceptions of bias against the right. It does color a lot of their policymaking. And so you can see how a project like this, which actually puts at the forefront the concerns of people of color and marginalized people above other types of people who, you know, that's where hate speech experts and civil rights groups say it should go, because it's taking into account power, as you said. But there are people at the top of Facebook who want very much for things to be race blind and don't want to rock the boat. And that's why you see consistent policy decisions that do end up hurting marginalized users. And that's why I'm even surprised that this project got off the ground.
Elizabeth Dwoskin is Silicon Valley correspondent for The Washington Post. As always, thank you.
Thanks, Tanya.